It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
And it's a very, very good evening to you this Monday evening. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Wayne Turner, taking you through until 6:45 this evening. The program is a chat show where we talk about issues, interview people, experts about a wide range of subjects. And in tonight's interview, we have on board with us a member of the community who has a social work background, who serves on the local community police forum, as well as about another 100 boards. And that is none other than Lorraine Mokor. Welcome to the studio again.
Thank you for having me, Wayne, and good evening to our listeners.
Right. This program is an especially important program, and the reason is because it involves our children who are valuable to us, who are minds that need to be molded, need to be nurtured. And we have massive problems in our community when it relates to children, which necessitates something like the Child Protection Week. And we are currently in the Child Protection Week, so I thought it would be important to discuss this subject, number one. And number two, to bring someone into studio who has experience, who works in communities, and who has a knowledge around the things of the abuses and issues involving children. So, Lorraine, I want to tap into your expertness around this and to say that this shouldn't be happening in our society. Our wonderful kids are so valuable, yet it still does. Tell us firstly, what is the reason for Child Protection Week?
Child Protection Week is meant to highlight the social ills and the injustices against children in general.
Right. So, we need to create this awareness because of what? What will it do? Is it going to help reduce, or is it going to just inform people? Give us some background.
So it will raise awareness and hoping that it will also reduce the scourge of abuse of children across the country and hopefully across the world as well.
Yeah, because awareness means that someone who is sitting at home and knows something is happening to their child or to a child might think it is, that's fine, it's just spanking, or that's fine, it's just something. But if they don't understand the degrees and how abuse actually starts and continues and is perpetuated, if they don't understand that, they're not going to do anything. Am I correct?
That is correct. So raising awareness is ensuring also that people know the types of abuse that exist and how to manage themselves. Because most of the time where people abuse is because they don't know how to manage themselves to begin with.
So the perpetrators or just the people who are observers?
The perpetrators as well as observers, because we look at both basically.
So we are aware of child abuse. We see currently in the news in our local community is someone who's been abusing young boys. It's now before the courts. It's great. We've had breakthroughs. That's important. But is it as bad as they say it is?
It's very bad. I believe South Africa is one of the top five countries, yes, in terms of child abuse. Here, it is where children are literally abused and massively, with Western Cape also being one of those where communities are rising, where NGOs are rising to say enough is enough now. We need a solution to this.
Because that's a hectic statement, one of the top five. And what we are talking about when we say one of the top five, is that for cases that you're aware of, or does it include, is that the tip of the iceberg is what I'm saying?
It is the tip of the iceberg. Every day there are cases reported of abuse, and these are those who mustered the courage to actually report. But the ones that are unreported cases are even far greater than the ones that are reported.
So we have got a ticking time bomb.
We've got a massive ticking time bomb, unless if we go out there and sensitize the young people in terms of disclosure, and the observers in terms of being aware that their inability to report when they see an abuse makes them actually accessory to the abuse of that particular child.
So what sort of information or ways of informing communities is taking place at the moment? Are there campaigns? Are there radio? What TV? I mean, what is happening, and is it enough?
There is campaigns, but it's not enough.
So there are organizations giving people information?
There are organizations that are covering women, that are covering children. But with the scourge also of gender-based violence, the focus shifts between children and women. And this clouds the focus. Hence the reason why having just that 1 week to focus only on the child, it allows for the communities to speak about what they see, what they observe. You know, it opens their eyes to ask, what do we do in cases like this one?
Because surely child abuse eventually turns into gender-based violence, because you cannot abuse a young boy and expect him not to learn the methods and at some stage an adult to do the same thing. Am I correct, or am I just being general?
You are very much correct. There is one of the cases I will not disclose that I've attended. One of the perpetrators, in actual fact, disclosed that he himself was a victim of abuse. Wow. And is continuing the same thing with children as well.
So then, I know this is difficult to say because it's so despicable when children are abused, but they're not being abused just by some random person who says, I like kids and I want to abuse them. It's often they are victims. It's a victim that is abusing another victim. Is that correct?
Often a time, the person that abuses a child is known very well to the child. If not, where it's a stranger, they start by grooming and gaining the trust of the child. Because children naturally have got an instinct to pull away. That is the thing. But when they
it is black and white at a certain stage, but
yes,
when they bring it into gray areas, the child is confused.
The child is confused. So if they know your name, they know where you stay, already you are a friend, and they trust you. And that is where the trust issues are abused. The fact that the child already trusts this adult and abuses that then opens the space and gap for abuse.
And I suppose the perpetrator already being a victim themselves, they're totally aware of the approach and totally aware of how they were abused. So to replicate that, they already know what to do. It's not like someone just tries to work out. They know what grooming is. They know what stage they can make the approaches.
Yes. You know, a pity about this is that most of them haven't gotten help. And it's very important that they get help. But there is something, Wayne, about abuse and mastering the courage to come out, is that there is a process, and one of those that covers the whole thing is the shame part of things. What will people say when I come out and say so and so, maybe my uncle has done this, has raped me, or when I come out and say my parents actually beat me up, my parents actually starved me, or they refuse for me to go to school, or they refuse. When I want to study, they switch off lights. They tell me that I'm finishing electricity. These are real life cases where children actually come out and say such.
So the abuses range from purely discipline all the way to seriousness like rape. Is that correct?
That is very much correct. You know, the thing with abuse is that it doesn't even have a gender. It doesn't have a race. It doesn't have a qualification in terms of whether this person is well qualified or not. It can be anyone. It can be anyone, really. And the things that people do to children, they are, like you said, very much despicable, because people don't necessarily recognize that right now I am harming a child and I need to stop. You know, it starts with a small thing. If I can give an example, a mother who says, I have nothing to give the child, out of their frustration, they end up beating up the child to death. And instead of getting help, instead of swallowing the pride and just going to knock next door, do you have something to give me and to give my children? So instead, they cage themselves and end up harming, therefore, the children.
And all that, their own shame, their own frustration, that eventually, as we said earlier, ticking time bomb explodes, and that's when they do the harmful things to their children.
That's correct.
Now, there is a big myth that I would like to correct. And that is one that has done the rounds, and we've just seen it has been dispelled, but I'd like you to make a comment. It has been said that child abuse problems are predominantly in economically disadvantaged communities.
Not at all. In fact, I am currently attending two cases as an observer. One of those cases, a normal person that comes from economically challenged environment. Yet the other one, well-educated, someone you would say, this person shouldn't be doing
middle what class, doing. Professional. Middle class,
professional, well-off. Let me just say, well-off. You know, you wouldn't suspect that this person wearing a suit and a tie can actually harm any child.
From a community, you would not expect it in either. You think everyone's happy.
Precisely. You know, so it doesn't have, like I said, race. It doesn't have gender or the age, for that matter.
Economics.
It doesn't have all that. So abuse is abuse is abuse in previously disadvantaged communities or economically challenged communities. It's also abuse in affluent communities.
The roots or the reasons, one might be because of economics. On the other side, in the other community, might be a different reason, but they still have the same amount, the same abuse, and one isn't higher than the other. Maybe one is more visible because the other can hide it for longer. But basically, when it boils down to it, this is a pandemic that goes across economics, race, religion, however you want to describe it. So that's the point I want to make. Just because you're in a community and it does not have a certain structure does not mean that it's not taking place. And there are different, what would be the word, indicators that we need to look across communities. So keep your eyes open. That's one of the reasons we have Lorraine in studio today, is that we want people to have the right tools to observe these different things that are taking place and be able to identify and nip it in the bud before it gets into a larger, a pandemic is a pandemic. It can't get any bigger, really. So let me just ask you this question. We touched on it. What is the range of child abuse? Not all child abuse is extreme. It starts somewhere, emotional, psychological, physical, and eventually death. You know, just give us a bit of an insight into that.
Sometimes it doesn't even have that process. It goes straight to the child being killed at first instance. Mm. So abuse on its own is seen as abuse. However, the majority of cases start small. It starts small where a person demeans their child.
You always make me do this. Yes. You always make me angry. That's the beginning of abuse.
Like the child has got to own up for the actions of the adult, you know. And the adult not recognizing, actually, I am harming this child, very small. And then it increases in terms of going to the emotional, going to the physical. And for those really that don't have much resources, the physical is higher.
Mm.
And from the physical, that's where we find now where children are unfortunately losing their lives.
And so when the adult is always right and the child is always wrong, that child will never have the confidence to own up about something because he says, I'll never be, or she says, I'll never be believed. Is that a problem?
That's correct. And children verbalize that what is the point? They won't believe me anyway.
So why?
Why am I saying? And what you are raising right now is very important because with children, what they tell you, you have to believe it and prove it otherwise.
Right.
Yes. From word go, they tell you that somebody's harming me. No matter how you feel about that person, I'll refer again to the two cases that which are pending currently. I looked at them and I thought, wow, these are people that which, when I look at them, are people that which have been friendly all along. And a child comes and say, but then they harmed me.
And you tend to believe the person who has got high reputation over a child.
Precisely.
Maybe that's something that needs to change in our society, that people, when they bring their children up, they need to bring their children up and say, mommy or daddy will believe anything you say. You come tell mommy or daddy anything, then we can chat about it. And maybe it didn't happen like that, or maybe they're just feeling scared about something, but you still believe them until something else proves differently.
Yes. You still believe them until something else proves it differently. Rather, the courts go to the evidence. Mm. But with parents as well, they must never make a mistake of when a child has told them a situation and they open a case and then they withdraw it. It's quite discouraging for the child because at the end of the day, that child ends up thinking, mom, dad don't believe me. Society also doesn't believe me. The justice system won't even believe me. You know, Wayne, we've got adults that are traveling with pain from what happened to them when they were still children. And they speak about it. Most of the NGOs that are starting or that have cropped up speaking about abuse, if you go deeper and ask the founders, they will tell you they themselves were in fact a victim of abuse of some sort. It can be educational, it can be being beaten up, it can be sexual. It's in different ranges.
Mm.
Yes.
So educating people on child rearing, how to bring up your children, is just as important because that can, in certain cases, impact how that child will, like we say, report something because the child's been brought up, you're always wrong, mommy's always right. The parent who admits to a child, I was wrong, and asks for forgiveness will be the parent that has the best relationship or has a good relationship with their child.
Exactly. And you said it so beautifully when you said the child must have the freedom to come to you and you will believe them.
Mm.
You know, they know that you can talk, they can talk to you as a parent about anything and you won't judge them. That opens them up to speaking up almost anything. And when they are in danger, they know that mom and dad or whomever is the guardian, let me not limit it to mom and dad, whoever is the guardian will be able to assist me, whether it's a teacher, whether it's whomever that's looking after the child during the day or in the evening.
I heard something really interesting. I mean, my children are adults, but they were saying about their children. They said in any situation, if uncle comes to them, to the child, and wants to give the child, pick them up and give them a hug. Their rule in their house is, you ask the child, can I give you a hug? you ask the child, because they want their children to have the freedom to say, no, I don't feel comfortable being hugged at the moment, or I don't feel comfortable like that, which I think is really important, because I've never thought about that. I would go to nephews, nieces, friends, kids who I'm close to and pick them up, give them a hug. 99% of the time, it's fine. But if they've got that freedom to be the decider on their own emotions, feelings, how they feel, they might feel uncomfortable and they can immediately say no. But I thought that was very, very interesting. Let's just move on to neglect versus abuse, because people always put child abuse in one category, but neglect is not an intentional action often, but it is just as bad.
Yes, neglect is just as bad. So the definition thereof of neglect is, you know that you ought to do something for someone, but you choose not to do it.
So there is an intention.
There is an intention. You know that your child has got to go to school, but you choose that your child is not going to school and you don't stimulate them either.
So you do something, well, you're not going to get food.
Yes.
Now, you're not doing it. There are many other ways to punish a child, but when you do something that prevents them from access to their basic human needs, human rights, that's neglect.
That's neglect. In the simplest form, in fact, it's like that. Because of sometimes we use these terms and they look bigger and intimidating. Mm. But when you take a step back and you look at them, the definition is very simple. The other one with abuse is about the extremes. Mm. The other one is about knowing that this child deserves the following rights and you choose, you as a parent, that not to reach it.
Right. Now, one of the big questions that is always asked, or especially from people who are very aware that these things are going on, mm-hmm. and are good people in their community and they want to see changes. I mean, pretty much like us who know there's something there, we want to do something. That's one of the reasons we have radio programs, video and all the rest, is to get the message out. But what do I do, number one? There's two parts to this. What do I do if I suspect a child has been abused? Because you can make a mistake and you can cause major eruptions in your community because you accused someone when it wasn't happening because you thought or perceived something. So what do I do if I suspect this is happening?
The best for you, especially when you don't know or don't have a relationship with that particular family, rather inform the local statutory organizations. So there are many NGOs that are there just to make sure they follow up cases of abuse. So that is the one. The other one, you can go straight to either organizations like child welfare or social development. Another one is that you can go online in terms of speaking to the organizations where a child can contact someone to report. It also depends on the age of the child consent. So if somebody, for instance, neglect their baby, the baby can't talk for themselves. Mm. If it's a teenager that is being beaten all the time, a teenager can be approached, but to a certain extent as well, if the teenager approaches you, you can give the advice to say, do it yourself. And this is because of with children, you have to sit with them and actually make sure that they go through the process, and then you refer to the nearest statutory area.
So what you're saying is rather be safe than sorry. Even if you do make a mistake, rather do that than years later found out, if I had have reported, I would have saved that child's, well, to the worst is the child's life, but it would mean scarring for many, many years. So if you report it to one of these organizations or statutory bodies, you're just saying, I suspect, I'm not sure, then they will take it. They have ways and means to investigate without creating a big problem. So they become aware and they can start making initial investigations.
Yes. So with them, the same, there are different ranges that which they look at. So cases like sexual abuse, you report it today, they act today, because of it has to do with the removal of the child. Mm. So they don't just bracket everything in one. So issues of, for instance, you are suspecting that the person is emotionally abusing their children. With that, maybe they will take tomorrow. But then where it's sexual abuse, almost immediately that they act.
But you don't want to, if you suspect something, I'm talking about a general suspicion, you haven't seen something, you need to be wary that there is some form of evidence. Am I correct?
Not necessarily. That is the thing with the cases of children. You don't need to have the evidence. The evidence will be found by the statutory bodies.
Right, and you don't have to go out there and identify yourself. You're just giving information of possible.
Yes.
You know, it's a really tough one, because you don't want to create something bad in the family. But on the other hand, if you don't, you know, there's always something when you suspect something. You're not just saying, well, I want to be horrible to that person, I'm going to say this. That initial suspicion needs to be dealt with. Otherwise, you have that in the future where I wish I had already spoken.
That's right.
Okay, so the second half to this question is, you're speaking to a child now. If they are getting abused, what should they do?
So with children in their communities, almost every community has got NGOs.
Mm.
They must reach out to those NGOs and say, this is happening to me. And if a child reports to an NGO, there is what we call a Form 22.
Right.
That refers a child from an NGO to social development for further services. That's the first.
So a step between that and the authorities.
Yes. The flip side of that will be with age. Remember, all this is different ages.
Mm.
So if a child discloses in an NGO, they have to complete a Form 22 and refer to social development or a statutory organization that is meant to make sure they assist vulnerable children. So when a child is younger, for instance, the ECDs, there was one ECD that reported about a couple of years ago where a child about three and a half years old, when he came to school, he was climbing on the girls and doing the actions of sexual acts.
Mm.
And they recognized that either the parents are in fact doing whatever they are doing in front of the child, forgetting that they observe and they do.
Yeah.
So in recognizing that, they wanted to know from me, what must they do? And I said, it's also a statutory case. You know, either you call the parents and ask, but at the same time, it might be that this child is in fact sexually abused. Because also the symptoms, when a child over time is producing the symptoms of this is what has happened to me, they might be doing it on other children as well.
So initial investigation will determine this. I know of a case from many years ago in my one daughter's school. The child had a new daddy, whether it was a boyfriend or a new father. And of course, the romantic relationship becomes really heated and the parents don't realize what they're doing and the child walks in and stuff like that. That's what the case ended up as. So they can determine whether it is a good relationship that's just happened to be more the child being exposed to. So they can determine that by the investigation and then move forward to see if it's actually happening to the child.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And I'm not going to add much to that.
Mm.
You know, like I was saying that it's with the age also of the child. The smaller ones, you know, you need to be the one that takes initiative when you observe. That is why when you've got people that are working with children, they've got to be smart and they've got to know the symptoms of abuse. And much as we say, not all symptoms signify abuse, but rather be safe than sorry. So where it's a child that already know what they need to do, they've got a cell phone. Almost every child now with this COVID has got a smartphone because all the work is sent on this phones of theirs.
Yes.
So they can be given the contacts that they can contact is very easy. The 0800 and the fives. You right. just say to them 0800
and then keep pushing fives.
They must keep pushing five. Yeah. You know, because if you try to say memorize how many fives, as soon as you end on the 10th number,
yeah, it then goes through.
It goes through.
That's good. 0800 yes. and then lots of fives.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got about 10 minutes left in the program. What I would like to do now is you to put your other hat on, and that is public relations with the Community Police Forum. Because often what happens in a community is cases are reported, and for whatever reason, for lack of information from the authorities side or the police side, or just neglect of duty, or pure we don't want your case, or laughing at the victim because the way the victim has told the story. All of these are scenarios that can be sketched. What should a person be doing if they reach that brick wall with, say, for example, SAPS?
The first thing they must recognize is that Community Policing Forum is community. And it's
there for you.
Yes, it's there for you. Don't be afraid. And they are on your side. You know, that's one thing they need to recognize. There are two people in any given case. But then the main is that CPF will always stand with the state to make sure that the case is resolved at the end. In terms of the perpetrator, it's only when the human rights issues are impeded. For instance, the perpetrator needed to dress up properly and have something to eat, then the family of the perpetrator can also approach the CPF thereof. But in terms of the case itself, the CPF is there for that, is there to make sure that when you don't know what to do with that case, you don't even have direction what to hold and where. Because we are not legal experts per se, but at least we can find that information.
We have access to legal experts.
Exactly. And we can help one another thereof to make sure that that case is resolved quite rapidly.
Because there's an education gap sometimes. The person doesn't have the education to take on the so-called experts, as in SAPS or whatever it might be. I remember just what we're saying now about that information and laughing. I remember someone calling me, they knew I was a CPF member, and they said this friend's daughter went to a certain shop with a certain thing happening, and the shopkeeper smacked her on the bottom. She felt very uncomfortable and felt it was bad. So they went to SAPS, and nothing happened. So they contacted me. And that's the value of Community Police Forum. I immediately phoned someone in authority. That person said, get them to phone me. He said, no, rather, this is the officer. I said, I'll come down to the station and I will speak to those officers. Tell the complainant to meet me there. And that was my first exposure to something like this, of the power of the CPF to get things resolved in the community. Now, that officer had got things a bit mixed up. He had told the person, no, we can't accept a case. Come back tomorrow or contact social development. He knew the social development aspect, but he didn't have everything in a row. So it wasn't neglect. It was incorrect information. But that matter was resolved with the community. It was resolved with SAPS. They had training. It was resolved from the Community Police Forum. That's the process of what we're talking about, is how the empowerment.
Yes. The empowerment, the buzz keyword, in terms of bringing our communities to be in the same level in terms of service delivery. Because it's one thing for us to say we will do things to help the community, but the community don't know how to access that kind of information. So importantly, to ask, just a simple ask, there is no stupid questions. When people are not sure in terms of where they must go with their cases, rather ask the NGOs that are in your communities. Majority of them are supposed in any case to be involved in community work, in Community Policing Forum. And we are getting there as CPFs across the country to make sure that the NGOs, they are easily accessible. You know, and they can be able to refer. That's where we can leave our contacts and say, if people are looking for us, this is where they'll find us, because it's not easy for people to reach us.
Yeah.
Of course, now we have launched Facebook in terms of this particular precinct, but being mindful that we are not only talking to one precinct, we are talking to the entire country, if not the world, because of we know that this particular radio station is all over.
Well, internationally through the internet, but the greater Cape Town area. So it might not be the same CPF, like we are involved with the Muizenberg one. Each police station constitutionally has to have a CPF. So there will be something there. Just quickly, a person is a child gets abused. We can also, for that matter, a woman raped, whatever it is. What is the process? Because often they take lots of courage to bring this out to another significant person, an aunt and uncle. Now the process has started, but then it stops when it gets to the authorities. What is the obligations of SAPS when a person arrives?
They have to take your case.
Right.
And give you a case number.
So that's imperative. That must happen.
The first two things that has to happen. And where it's severe cases, because there are those that are things you can follow up the following day. Mm. They don't really need an arrest now. But then where it's severe cases, a child is lying in hospital as we speak, being beaten by their father or their mother, almost half dead, an arrest has got to be made almost immediately.
Right.
Where they can follow up, and it follows the whole process, just like a normal criminal case, where there must be bail application and where community can be involved to say that that person deserves to be in jail. And I think in the 30 seconds, let me speak about that. The importance of the community's voice. When you know that a child is being abused, you as the community, when you stand up, it carries weight in court. Those petitions you make, they carry massive weight in court.
So we don't want that perpetrator back until this matter has been finalized.
Exactly. Until that person can be corrected, seeing that we've got correctional services now and not prisons. Mm. So until that person their behavior is corrected and they can be restored back into community.
Just tell us quickly about the obligations with regard to victim support in the trauma rooms and counselors. What should the person expect, and what can they ask SAPS?
Ideally, I know the capacity is very limited because the cases of abuse are alarming. That's why the president of this country made sure there is focus on that. Ideally is that when someone reports a case of abuse, the victim empowerment program and counselors have got to be activated immediately. But here is the thing, Wayne. Most of our police stations don't know how to link up the two.
Right.
You know, and often a time, like I said, because of capacity, you find that the counselor is not on site. They don't know how to pick up the phone and say, I've got an abuse case. Can you come and do debriefing? Can you come and start up the process? Or can you do a telephonic? Because they can also do a telephonic consultation with that particular person.
Right. We've got a minute left. Very, very important. And this process is that you need, if you have any problem with service delivery, whatever part it is, the community police forum needs to be involved. Is that correct?
That is correct. Notify. You make use of community police forum, especially where you are not getting joy. We are there to assist. We don't promise heaven and earth, but we are there to assist.
In whatever way you can.
Yes.
Well, Lorraine, I mean, you come from a background and working in community. As you said, you come across many cases. So we really appreciate your time and effort. And, of course, the information around CPF and the different organizations. That number quickly before we end, if the only number you remember regarding child abuse, 0800-5555. Just keep putting fives after that. It'll eventually will connect. Find someone in your community, local community police forum, a web page, a Facebook page. We've got one with Muizenberg Community Police Forum, but they will have this information available to the public. Right. So from the show Talk at Six with Wayne, that's all we have time for. Thank you very much to Lorraine. We'll be chatting again next week. Once a month, we have a community slot, and we'll try to bring you the latest with community information. So until then, from me, Wayne Turner, it's goodbye and God bless.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.